Hello and welcome to Stories for Wonderful Children. I'm Dan Wendelin, your host and storyteller. For many years, I improvised a new bedtime story for my children every night. For Season 5 of Stories for Wonderful Children, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to skip forward to 2020, when many children, including my own, had to attend school online. And so, I told them a long 3-month story about an online school. As my children were significantly older at this point, you may notice a shift in tone from the earlier stories that you've been listening to. This story has a little more high adventure, a little romance, and some rare mild fantasy violence. Children who are old enough to enjoy the Harry Potter stories or the Percy Jackson stories should feel right at home with this story of Myra and the Online School. I hope you enjoy it, this last season of Stories for Wonderful Children. After Myra had successfully evaded the stalker llama, given a little help by her friends and classmates, she began to feel a bit emboldened.
Oh no, this is not good.
Now, the stalker llama had found her again by the time she had headed back to her room, but she had begun to wonder, where does it go when it's not watching me? Does it stay there all the time? And so, she had decided to watch the stalker llama. Then it reappeared.
Stalking the stalker llama.
When it reappeared at the front of her dorm, she had found a study room with a good view of the front entrance, and had started doing her required reading for flight lessons while keeping an eye on the stalker llama. She was rewarded for this effort by discovering that promptly, as the bells of the school rang 9 p.m., another stalker llama approached.
The stalker llamas switch out!
And stood next to the first stalker llama. They looked at each other for a second, chewing nothing at all, and the first stalker llama had turned and walked off. Huh, said Myra. Isn't that interesting?
They have shifts.
And so the next day, after class, studiously ignoring the stalker llama watching her, she relayed her discovery to Antoine and Chelsea. She said, there's more than one of them. They watch me in shifts. Yeah, said Antoine. So, said Myra. Where do they go when they're not watching me? Why do you care, said Chelsea. Because, said Myra, if they watch me, it seems only fair that I watch them.
The stalky becomes the stalker.
Taking this very personally, said Antoine. You're right, said Myra. I am taking it very personally. But think about it for a minute, wouldn't you? Yeah, said Chelsea. I think I would. I think I definitely would. So, said Myra, tonight when they switch, I'm following the other one home. All right, said Antoine. You want to come, said Myra. Antoine said, no, not really. I want to come, said Chelsea. Great, said Myra. Be at my dorm at 8. They switch promptly at 9. Got it, said Chelsea. And then they had finished their class, which was on this particular day, about the sharpening of daggers, which was a useful but not exciting skill. And then Myra had gone to her flight class, which was her first time away from the stalker llama in 24 hours. It had stood at the base of the flight stables and she had taken off on the back of her griffin. She had been learning about the commands for steering a griffin. Griffins don't like reins. They're very bright. They will throw you if you try to use spurs on them. So you have to ask. You have to ask in a very specific way. And they expect that you ask in their language. And so half of her reading was just like pronunciation guides for griffin. It all just sounds like, you know, and so on. And so Myra had asked her griffin if they could fly out over the forest, which the griffin had done. Myra had peered down and had seen really nothing. She had seen a few large spiders moving among the trees, but she did not see any deer, and she did not see any weird string demon things, which was a little disappointing, but not entirely. Yeah, not entirely surprising. It was daytime, and the forest had a lot of thick foliage in the canopy, so you couldn't really see much of anything below it. So Myra returned. The llama was waiting for her when she climbed down from the stable. She had taken the policy of studiously ignoring it. She had dinner with Kisa and Antoine and Chelsea, and Ben had headed back to her dorm, done a little studying. At 8 o'clock promptly, she heard a knock on her door. She had gone to answer it. "Hey," said Chelsea. "What are you all up to?" asked Tweety. "Oh," said Myra. "Well, you know how our little trip in the forest got me assigned a stalker llama?" "Yeah," said Tweety. "Well," said Myra, "I discovered there's more than one of them." "That makes sense," said Tweety. "Well," said Myra, "where do they go when they're not stalking me?" Tweety shrugged. "I don't know. Home?" "Yes," said Myra, "but where?" "So," said Tweety, "what are you going to do?" "I'm following it," said Myra. "Oh," said Tweety, "that sounds creepy. Have fun." "Well, I intend to," said Myra. "The first thing we have to do is follow it without the replacement realizing that we've left, which means we have to give it the slip now. Chelsea's going to help me with that." "How are you going to do that?" asked Tweety. "Well," said Myra, "Chelsea's going to switch clothes with me. I'm going to sneak out the back entrance, and then the stalker llama is going to realize Chelsea's not me, and it'll take it a while to find me." "We can do it more easily than that," said Tweety. "I'll distract the stalker llama, and you all just go." "Okay," said Myra. "Great, thanks." "I'll go now," said Tweety. Promptly stood up and left. Myra was overcome by curiosity. She looked out the window of the study room as they were headed to the back entrance. Tweety had walked up to the stalker llama and put one massive rocky arm right around its middle in something sort of like a hug, but not exactly. The stalker llama was spitting at Tweety. Tweety was completely ignoring the stalker llama. Myra saw the stalker llama at least once try to bite Tweety. It would appear that the stalker llama regretted that decision. Tweety was still ignoring it. Actually, Tweety, with the other hand, whenever the stalker llama was not actively biting or spitting at Tweety, was gently patting the stalker llama on the top of the head. Myra cracked the window and could hear Tweety going, "There, there. It's okay. Be a good llama." "Right," said Myra. "Let's go." And so they headed out the back door of the dorm. They looked around for a bit and found a spot some distance from the dorm in some bushes where they did their best sneaker hiding. After about 10 minutes had gone by, they saw
Tweet. Let go of the stalker llama, give it a gentle pat on the head, and then head back inside the dorm.
Honestly, that poor llama.
It was not that much longer before the bells rang. The new llama arrived, the previous llama, and the new one looked at each other chewing for what seemed like much longer than the previous night. How do they communicate, do you think? Myra whispered. Chelsea just shrugged. There, she said. Myra looked. The first llama was headed away from the dorm. The second llama was starting to make a circuit around the dorm, staring up toward Myra and Tweety's window. Well, said Myra, let's go. They now had the cover of full dark, and they had been getting better with their sneaking, so they had little trouble following the stalker llama as it made its way to the tavern. I've never seen a llama in the tavern, said Myra. What do you reckon they drink? Chelsea shrugged. You want me to go find out? Sure, said Myra. It's not looking for me. So Chelsea went in and came back out. Come on, she said. It's actually sneaking out through the other way. So they snuck around the tavern and saw the llama emerge through the back door, and then they followed it. It took a long and circuitous route before it headed straight toward the woods.
I knew it. Don't do it, Myra.
Myra and Chelsea looked at each other. We're not supposed to go in there, said Myra. You're not supposed to go in there, said Chelsea. Nobody knows I was in there. I'm not letting you go in without me, said Myra.
Myra, please.
Please, Chelsea, Dad, said, no, wait,
look. Do not
look.
Make Myra stupid.
Just as the stalker llama reached the edge of the woods, it was met by a deer. They stood there, nose to nose, for a full minute. Then the deer turned and walked back into the woods, and the llama turned away from the woods and walked again onto campus.
Thank you.
Myra and Chelsea followed, and after a few minutes, behind the administration building, they discovered the secret underground stables, home of the stalker llamas. Well, said Chelsea, I guess that's that. You going back? Said Myra. You're not? Said Chelsea. No, said Myra. I'm going to sit here and stare at the stables until it realizes that I'm here. That seems like a strange thing to do, said Chelsea. Myra shrugged. It feels right, she said. Okay, said Chelsea. Chelsea turned and disappeared into the night. Myra sat down, staring intently at the entrance that led down to the underground stables. She was fortunate that she had to wait only about an hour before a llama emerged from the underground stables. Myra was pretty sure it was the llama that had been standing outside of her dorm. It had just a little bit of rock dust on its coat. And it walked up to her. Myra stared at it. It stared back at her. Myra started chewing on nothing. The llama turned around and went back into the stable. See, said Myra, you see how it feels? And then she turned and went back to bed. That is the end of the story for tonight.
Thanks for listening to Stories for Wonderful Children. I created today's show, but questions and running commentary were supplied by my children. The theme music was created by Brandon Thompson, and our wonderful logo was designed by Silas Swindlin. If you know someone who might enjoy the show, please tell them about it. Do you want more stories? You can now subscribe to the show and help pick a new story for me to tell every month. The show's website is storiesforwonderfulchildren.com. Until next time, I'm Dan Wendelin, reminding you to tell someone you love a story.